Tonight we have two fantastic guests. Actually, it's an encore appearance for both of them. But I've known this one gentleman for probably more years than I care to admit. That he was on the San Diego bench as a Superior Court judge for, I think, about 28 years. We'll get that all confirmed. But spent his entire life in San Diego. He's one of the few rare San Diego natives, born, raised, schooled, all here in San Diego. And without further delay, Judge Robert C. Coates, retired. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Joe.
Welcome back to the show. Yeah,
well, hey, thanks.
Welcome back. And then also we have, because today we're going to focus on mental health and mental illness, we have from the National Alliance of Mental Illness in San Diego, the CEO, Shannon Jacquard. Shannon, welcome back as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's terrific. So I thought these first 2 seconds we'd talk with Bob a little bit, just to give the listeners a sense of your history, Bob. Born, if you want to give the year, fine, but born and raised, give us the whole spiel, because I know you grew up in the beach area, went to La Jolla High. Tell us all about it.
I went to La Jolla High. I was a most valuable baseball player. I went to San Diego State.
Uh-huh. Where, in grade school,
got,
you even went
got
here.
A degree of
Where'd you go to grade school? Tell us that one.
PB Elementary.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Still exists.
Is that now? That's not Crown Point Elementary. PB Elementary is north of Ingram, right? Or, I mean, north of Garnett, right? Right by where the library used to be. Well, that school's still there.
Still there.
What position did you play at La Jolla High on the baseball diamond?
Third base.
Nice. The hot corner.
Yeah, Bob's a big baseball enthusiast. And then you went to San Diego State and you went to Cal Western Law School, so you got your law degree here as well. And,
yes.
And went into criminal defense initially, right?
That was part of it, but I represented a lot of injured people.
Okay, gotcha. Well, the reason we have you here is because your book has finally, it's been officially released, correct?
Yes.
And the title is?
Crazy People in Court.
Does that include just about everybody? I'm just curious.
Well, it does, because Bob's got
The courts are magnets for mentally ill people.
Yeah, and actually, Bob, when you were on the bench, it was about 28 years, right? From when to when? It was from
82 to 2002.
There you go. Appointed by which governor?
2010.
Which governor appointed you? I think
Governor Brown.
There you go.
So when I wrote my book, everybody told me I was mentally ill. How long did your book take?
25 years.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well, Bob's got a very compelling personal story, because he did have a mental illness, and that's what triggered the whole motivation behind the book. And I know you spoke at your Rotary Club about this, right, Bob? And so maybe you want to give us a little bit of the introductory part of the story, or?
Well, when I was in law school, Martin Luther King was shot, Bobby Kennedy was shot. I was motivated to start with Bishop McKinney a volunteer program in Southeast San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very successful. We had hundreds of people working on Saturdays. And we felt that while other cities were burning, San Diego was spared. And we were a component of that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and what was your mission? Just to do a community service type work to get people involved?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
When my last year of law school started, when my third year of law school started, I didn't feel that ethically I could drop the project. So I kept working on the project. Mm-hmm. I was going to law school. I was working full time. I was getting about 2 hours sleep a night.
Mm.
And something had to give.
Yeah.
And so I had a severe mental breakdown. I was 3 weeks in the hospital. And 3 days out of the hospital, I started my last year of law school. That was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I'd sit in the library and read a sentence, and I'd read the next sentence, and I couldn't remember the first sentence.
Mm.
And
that can happen to any one of us, I believe, if we get too overworked, too stressed, and not enough sleep,
well,
Richard.
And one of the things I've come to believe is that all of us go in and out of mental symptoms in different times of our life.
Yeah. Shannon, did you want to weigh in on that? Did you have a thought? Is that pretty accurate?
I mean,
as far as, we're all prone to mental illness.
But Bob, did you check yourself into the hospital, or did somebody sort of push you in?
A friend of mine took me over there, and I knew something was wrong. So they took me to UCLA, and I knew I was in a first class place, so I checked myself in.
No, we went to. I thought you went to law school in San Diego.
I did.
Okay, you were in Los Angeles doing what? Though I mean, when
being crazy.
Oh, okay. You and Brian Wilson. You know what happened to Brian Wilson? They found him under a tree in Balboa Park from the
He went
park.
The other way. He went from LA down to San Diego.
Yeah, exactly.
The opposite direction.
So what was the diagnosis, Bob, and how did they help you?
Severe manic stage, severe psychotic break.
Mm.
They put me on a heavy dose of Thorazine and talking therapy. And when they released me to go to law school, they later told me that they had debated putting me in the hospital for 5 or 6 months, but they decided that I was so motivated regarding law that it was worth a try to see if they could call that therapy. So just before my final exams that fourth year, things got clearer, and suddenly I passed the exams. I worked my fanny off. I passed the bar exam the first try.
You were getting more sleep, I would hope, by then, right?
No? You betcha.
Okay.
Yeah, and I never had a problem after that, and I never looked back. Wow. But because of this, I wound up representing hundreds of mentally ill people, and I became a leader in the trial lawyers. And my argument to Governor Brown was, look, I'm a unique character. You're not going to find a guy like me, and I'll be an asset on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And he bought it.
Yeah. And then, of course, you became a big advocate for the homeless as well, and I'm sure you met up with people who were having mental issues when you were doing that, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
At least a third of the homeless are deeply mentally ill.
Yeah. And, of course, your prior book is Street is Not a Home, right?
Yes. That's on Solutions to Homelessness.
Yeah. Yeah. So your book was just, I guess you've been writing this for 25 years, different chapters about different characters and people and individuals you've run across in court.
Yeah, when some really interesting character would show up, like Sergeant Major Ninja, I would take notes.
Well, that's one of your chapters. Why don't you just pick out one of your chapters if you want to talk about
him. I've got to hear about Sergeant Major Ninja.
Yeah, okay. Tell us about him, Bob. Sergeant Major Ninja.
That's one of the 30 chapters, and this was a fun guy. He was crazy as a hoot owl, and he showed up in a Sergeant Major jacket from the Marine Corps.
What was he charged with, by the way?
He was charged with dealing in cocaine,
mm.
And they waived jury and had the trial in front of me, and what I hadn't noticed initially was that he had some nifty black shoes on, ninja shoes, and he wanted to be called Sergeant Major Ninja. And he testified, and when he came to trust me, he confessed to me very shyly who he really was, which was the Commander-in-Chief. And he confessed that he had ordered himself to go undercover and be involved in this cocaine deal as a matter of national security.
Well, hey, as long as it made the country better.
And
sounds like that senator from Pennsylvania, but never mind, who was shoving money in his pocket.
And he had an excellent public defender. Public defender had gotten him just as squared away as he could be squared away. He was in a board and care home. He was seeing a psychiatrist. He was going to meetings, and so I put him on probation, ordered him to keep doing all those things he was doing. And so the last time I saw him, he came arriving late, and I was already engaged in a jury trial. So he showed me from the door a bunch of papers in his hand, and I knew they were the proofs that he was supposed to have. So I motioned for him to go over to my bailiff. Eventually, I got those papers. I checked them out. Everything was okay. I gave him a thumbs up. He went back to my door, waited courteously until nobody was looking at him, and then he saluted me. And I saluted him. So this was This was the executive saluting the judiciary and the judiciary saluting him back. And it was way cool.
And that was the last you saw of him? Or?
That was the last I saw of Sergeant Major Ninja.
Now, this wasn't regular court. Isn't there a court just for the mentally ill?
This was regular court.
Okay. But now, you sat on the bench.
And the presiding judges sent me every crazy guy they could find because they knew I was patient with them.
Ah, gotcha.
And sometimes I understood the diagnosis.
Gotcha. But now, over time, hasn't there been courts for domestic violence, which I know you sat on the bench there, and then one for just for mentally ill now? Is that what they call it, mental illness court?
Mental health court.
There are two mental health courts, and there used to be a special division for domestic violence. I presided there for a year.
Mm. So those must be tough cases to preside over.
Fascinating stuff. And I never lost anybody in the year that I was there.
Yeah. Well, there's one story, I don't know if it is in this book, but you've told me before about when you were an attorney, a criminal defense attorney, and you were representing someone charged with murder from Columbia. And I think that's a fascinating story that you took your own personal issues. And you remember that when you were arguing to the jury?
Joe.
Why don't you tell us?
That's actually in the book.
It is in the book. Okay, good.
And I was representing this young man charged with murder. He had shot and killed a Sharp Hospital employee in the hospital parking lot.
And he was from South America, right?
He was. His parents were from Colombia,
okay.
And we. I was able to put on a psychiatrist who wouldn't quite reach the conclusion we needed in order to have this young man kept in the juvenile court. He was 17 and a half years old, and I told the psychiatrist, Dr. Kashkarian, that was just fine. We'd get his testimony. And then what I didn't tell the psychiatrist was that I would put on three other witnesses to impeach the psychiatrist's conclusions.
Hmm.
And the judge bought it.
Hmm.
And we won that case, and it was kept in juvenile court.
But when you made your closing arguments, you were going through some personal issues yourself.
Yeah,
right?
What happened was, the eventual mother of my children, Mimi, 3 days before that hearing started, decided to break off the engagement and go back to San Francisco. And so it was a very sad case, very sad testimony. And so as I was examining the kid's father, I started crying. I didn't stop. I just kept on. I kept calling witnesses one after another, and I kept crying. Pretty soon, the probation officer's crying, and then the soft-hearted prosecutor's crying, and the judge is crying. Everybody's crying, and I didn't slow down. I just kept going.
Was the jury there? Did you have a jury, or just a bench trial?
You don't have a jury in juvenile court.
Okay, so everyone's crying, and you're going through.
I think that may have affected the court. I hope so.
Anyway, he was exonerated, the young man.
He
right?
wasn't exonerated, but he was kept in juvenile court.
Mm.
And then we confessed to the truth of the charges, and he was sent to the youth authority, and he spent several years there.
Okay.
And then when he got out, I found out later that he went to Columbia. No mention was made to me of him being involved in the drug cartels, but who knows?
Yeah.
And then he called me 2 months ago from Colombia, and he had another case that he'd gotten while he was in the youth authority. He was charged with smuggling heroin into the youth authority.
Oh my God.
And he wanted a referral to a criminal attorney, and I referred him and never heard from him again.
Wow, good luck with that. But anyway, it was interesting that you were dealing with your own personal crisis, and that translated into a successful event.
And I later married Mimi on time that January.
Yeah. But I mean, look, you worked out for you have how many beautiful kids now? You have
two.
Cameron and Whitney. You have a granddaughter now, right?
Granddaughter Robin.
Yes.
Any of the kids go into law?
No, they never saw me practicing law, and their mother became an attorney, and she didn't really enjoy it that much.
Yeah, but Cameron's quite the scientist, right? He's got
Got a PhD in marine biology.
Yeah, and he's doing great research work up in Northern California. Which institution is he with these days?
He was with the
UC Berkeley or something, or up
Berkeley.
There? Yeah, but he's
laboratory.
He's great about environmental science, and of course, his wife used to work here at Channel 8 as a producer. Or
she did, Simone Coates.
Yeah.
Oh, I know Simone. Okay,
that's her.
There you go.
And small world.
Yeah.
Fantastic person.
So
yeah,
absolutely, that's closing the circle there quite a bit. But so the book is going to come out. We'll have to have some book release parties for you, Bob, and get you maybe at Warwick's or something. And
I'm with you.
Yeah.
And I'm determined to have an absolutely great time with this book.
Yeah.
It was fun writing it, and it's going to be fun reading it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we've got about, a minute and a half here. Is there one more story?
Have we mentioned a website, Joe?
Is there a website for this, Bob?
There will be one.
Yeah, okay. We don't quite have that
Crazy
yet.
People in Court.
Yeah, just go to
crazypeopleincourt.com.
Well, hopefully. Do you have that URL, Bob, yet, or we don't know yet?
Say again.
Do you have that website yet, crazypeopleincourt.com, or we don't know yet?
I don't know yet.
Okay, well, we're working on that. Well, is there one more story you'd like to tell us, or anything you'd like to conclude with in terms of mental illness as it affects all of us today in today's world? Obviously, it's in the news you're hearing.
Well, having had the experience that I've had, one of my conclusions is that many, many people have mental aberrations, and most people, if they have half a brain, turn it into an asset.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly did. Yeah. Abraham Lincoln certainly did.
That's
Teddy
sure.
Roosevelt certainly did.
Winston Churchill.
Sure.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I read a book about all those gentlemen, and they suffered depression and very troubling things, and they obviously...
it took Lincoln until he was 45 years old for him to come to the conclusion that his depression was something that he had to live with.
Yeah. Shakespeare.
And he had to keep as an advantage, because... when he was depressed, he could see things that other people couldn't see.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Bob, thank you so much. Judge Bob Coates, folks, we'll look for the
Crazy People in Court.
We'll have the information on our website.